and welcome to another episode of Worst Collection Ever. This is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence, and it just happens to belong to us. I'm Jen.
I'm Sean.
And we're back!
Yay.
After hiatus.
Well, we had to take a week off.
Well, things happen.
Because
Sean has
my
a new job.
Gig, you know, it's just things move quickly, and we're like, oh, we can do this then, and whatever, and, you know, it's just, you run out of time sometimes, so it just happens. But, you know, I think we're going to, you know, do some reworking of things and, you know, make it easier to record stuff in advance, particularly like we're going to do today.
It's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday, so we're just sitting here hanging out. I like Sundays.
Yeah.
Sundays are good.
Okay.
Because Saturdays are, like, busy.
Well, we do a lot of shit on Saturday.
We got to, like, run errands and shit.
Yeah, a bunch of suit.
Yeah.
A bunch of suit.
Because I had a suit emergency for work, and I was prepared. I was prepared enough.
Yes, but you were not suit prepared.
I was not soups prepared.
Yep.
So I had to figure it out, which I did.
Yes, yes.
And then we went and bought some more stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I am now a suited man.
Suit man.
I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it's a nice suit. I'm glad you bought it.
Yeah. What else? Yeah, and I was in Boston this week.
Mm-hmm.
I was there.
Sad I couldn't go.
Yeah, I know. Wish you were there.
I mean, we met in Boston, lived in Boston for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I miss it.
Yeah.
You were literally like one street over from where I used to work.
Yeah.
And like four streets over from my old apartment.
I know. And I was
I'm really bummed out.
Because I was pretty much like right on like.
You were on Huntington.
Huntington and like Boylston's right there.
Yep.
And then, you know, used to live on Marlboro.
Mm-hmm.
But I decided to take a minute and check out Newbery Comics.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a minute since I have.
It's been updated since you've gone.
Yeah.
Last.
Yeah, they took care of some stuff.
Except now it's just nothing but pop figures.
It's a lot of pop figures. I'm not exaggerating. Like, it's sometimes you're just like, oh man, they got a big section of pops. Like, there is. Okay, so you walk in. So the first, like, because the way that I remember it,
yeah,
Newbery Comics was one floor.
Yeah.
Just one main floor with, you walk in and there's DVDs and, you
yeah,
know,
there, it was like one of those that we had taken over two storefronts. So, like, one side.
Oh, that's right. There are two sides.
Yeah. So one side was the DVDs and stuff. And then the other one was kind of more like the comic booky stuff. Or was it the CDs?
It was like the vinyl. And
yeah.
Because it was the way it was, I remember.
And
it
then
was,
downstairs was like.
Well, there wasn't a downstairs.
Wasn't there like a little downstairs? Maybe I'm
so.
Wrong. Oh, well, okay. Oh, you're right. Because where the DVDs were, the comic books were in the back.
Yeah, well,
of that side.
No, the DVDs. It was the DVDs in the front.
Yeah,
and then the register was to your left.
Right.
And then in the back, you know, in the back was the CDs.
Oh. Okay.
And they had like, you know, gimmicks on the wall and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And some vinyl, and then you go to I think it was just CDs, and you go to the other side, and that was where all the vinyl was, and the comic books.
Oh, okay.
And other gimmicks. That's how I remember it.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'll go check it out. You know, see how it looks now. Mm-hmm. And it's three floors.
Yeah.
I don't know if they have the second storefront anymore. Because it was basically just straight up and down.
Oh, I wonder if they couldn't have both storefronts, so they just moved.
At least I don't remember walking over. I mean, or maybe I did and I just didn't realize it.
Oh, maybe they knocked out a wall. I don't know.
Well, they may, yeah, because it's a because again, like the one side is just nothing but pops, and then you walk to the back, and there's more pops, and the pops, and pops, and pops. It is, if you need pops,
go to Newbery Comics.
Go to Newbery Comics in Boston, or go to their, I'm sorry, you can go to their website and be like, hey, you got a pop, and they'll send
they
you.
They have
pop.
Fucking pops.
So yeah, but I went there and I bought Jen some Daria socks.
Yeah, that was exciting. I didn't even know they made Daria socks.
I didn't either, but I was like, well, I need to get Jen something.
I'm excited.
So I needed to hook that up, and I picked up a they have Funko. It's a Funko product, but it's not a pop. It's like these He-Man style. They're called like Savage World or something. But it's like iconic horror. Like horror guys. So you have like a Jason, you have Jason, Freddy, Leatherface, Hellraiser, and Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And usually in the stores, for some reason, they've been out for a while, but they're never like cheap. Yeah. At least not cheap enough for me to want to get them. And they had a Freddy one for like cheaper than, you know, the cheapest I've seen in a while. So I, you know, on Mint on Card. So I just picked that up and I already got like Leatherface and Hellraiser. They're a lot like those. I can't remember what those things are. Those something age, those DC comics.
Yeah.
It's not Stone Age.
Ice Age? No.
No, it's something.
Something Savage Age? No.
Savage, maybe. Yeah, maybe Savage Age. I don't know. But they have a few of those, which they're supposed to put out new ones, I think. And I haven't seen them around.
Oh. Because
they're supposed to be like a Flash and a Bizarro and actually the Superman.
Yeah.
And I think they, I don't know, I could probably order them, but I have, I bought a few of those too. Not at Newbury, but I've had those before. Yeah. And I have like, they're basically in the same vein of this stuff. But yeah, I mean, they have the comics, you know. Mm-hmm.
So can I just say, speaking of Freddy Krueger.
Oh, yes, yes.
So my favorite show in the entire world came back on Friday, which is
right.
RuPaul's Drag Race. Everybody knows I've been a fan since season one. We are on season 12. They did a mini challenge, like a fashion mini challenge. And they were like, do a fall, a summer look and a fall look, right? This one queen named Crystal Method, she's a little weird. She did a Freddy Krueger inspired dress.
Right.
And it's fucking amazing, and I would wear it. Look at this.
I think it's cool.
It's very cool. It's all
confusing, though.
It's not confusing. I got it immediately when she walked
out. No, I mean, I get that it's Freddy Krueger, but it looks like a poncho.
It's a dress.
Right, but it's hard to...
It's just one giant sweater dress that's held together with safety pins.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's really fucking cool.
I think it's cool. I thought you were going to say if there's a summer and a fall look, I thought they were going to do like a Jason for the summer.
Oh, no. I forget what she did for the summer. She didn't do anything horror related. But when she came out with that one, I was just like, I fucking love it.
Well, that was that thing.
My favorite fucking thing. I love it.
Remember there was that documentary that they're doing trailers for at House of
Cemetery? Yeah, that actually played while you were gone.
Yeah.
Which I was bummed out because I wanted to see it.
It's Scream Queen.
It's something else though. It's got a bit longer name.
Well, it's about the actor and primarily and about the effect that basically like Nightmare on Elm Street Part 2 is a very like
it's very gay.
It's a very gay movie.
To put it
bluntly. And
a lot of subtext. I mean, not even subtext. It's just fucking flat out.
It's straight up like there's S&M club, just leather, and it's a very considering it's the second movie in the franchise.
Yeah, it's called Scream Queen: My Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, and I forgot the actor's name, Mark something, I think.
Yeah, Mark Patton.
Mark Patton, yeah, and he became very regarded in the gay community for his role.
Well, yeah, I mean, because we saw the trailer for it. It looks really interesting because it was like...
Well, because they had drag queens in it, too.
There's like, you know, obviously drag queens that do kind of more of that Dragula-style drag where it's kind of like spooky and weird.
Yeah.
But they had this this thing where he is a gay man, but he wasn't at the time a gay actor because, you know, nobody was out back then. It was like the 80s.
Yeah.
But it was so obviously gay. Like he really couldn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And he even tells the filmmakers, like, I guess there's a part in the documentary where he's like, you guys disavowed this whole thing, but it's so obviously gay. And they still like disavow that it was supposed to be gay and whatever. But I mean, he's a scream queen.
Yeah.
He absolutely was.
Yeah. That's an interesting movie, too, if you've never seen it.
I have never seen it, if you can believe that.
I think I watched it a couple years ago. I mean, Nightmare on Elm Street's like one of those franchises that I watched a lot when I was like, I definitely have seen like 4, 5, 6, maybe New Nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was back in, you know, in the late 80s, 90s when it was like, you know, fucking Wild West with the rentals. Although I think I've seen 3. That one's I've seen bits and pieces of, but I've never.
Yeah, there's so many like I've seen bits and pieces of this movie or whatever. It's been a long time. I listened to You Must Remember This, which is very good. And it's by Karina Longworth, who's actually married to Rian Johnson. But I think when she started this whole thing, they weren't together. I don't even know. But So she's been doing this podcast forever. It used to be on Panoply. I think even before that was on Slate.
Yeah, basically it's the same thing.
Yeah, it was on Slate. I mean, this has been going on for years, but it's basically Hollywood's first century. So she did like a whole season about Joseph McCarthy and the Red Scare. She did a whole season on the Manson family. There's a couple like weird one-offs in the beginning, like about Bruce Lee or Kurt Cobain. She did something blonde, Hollywood Blondes, I think is the,
okay.
Another one where it's just like a blonde starlet from that era. Hollywood during the war, you know, that. So she has like seasons and each has a topic. Mm. So she did one called Bella and Boris. She says Bela. I say Bella. About Bella.
I feel like everybody says Bella, but it's probably Bela.
Yeah, well, Bauhaus said Bella, so therefore...
I go by Bauhaus.
Whatever Peter Murphy says is how I say it.
Any word that Peter Murphy has pronounced is how I'm going to pronounce it.
Yes, yes. He says Bela Lugosi's dead. I have no choice but to
tomato,
believe him.
It's tomato.
It's fucking tomato. I mean, I'm not going to fight with the godfather of goth.
who might doubt the
Peter
man,
Murphy?
Who might doubt Peter Murphy?
So it's about Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff and the very first wave of Hollywood horror. And it's really interesting.
Yeah.
About how, you know, horror movies have always been looked at as like some sort of bullshit genre, but they persist and they take on new lives like every couple of years. Because like,
well,
you know,
shit, a horror movie just won the best picture a couple years ago.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it did. So they did Dracula and Frankenstein right in the 30s. Universal did that. Mm-hmm. And then there wasn't really a market. And then all of a sudden in the 50s, when they're playing on TV all the time, holy shit, there's another fucking market for them.
Yeah.
And like, it's just like revitalize these curses. It's really interesting. And that always like, whenever we start talking about horror movies, I'm just like, I want to be like a horror movie historian. Somebody has to be a job.
Oh, there's plenty of people.
There's got to be like a literal professor, somewhere who's like, I teach a class on horror movies.
You know, I'll tell you, man, if that was an Emerson thing, I would have fucking taken that class.
100% I would have taken that class. It would have been awesome. Can I take that class now?
Yo, too fucking literary there. Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, nobody gave a shit. But like, if I could have taken like, you know, a fucking class or fucking, you know, several classes on horror movies. And
yeah,
I would have absolutely done that.
Horror Splatter University.
Oh, shit. Should we found Splatter University?
Yes.
We should do that. We should get a bunch of classes.
For-profit college.
It's absolutely a for-profit college. Are you fucking kidding? You can't actually get a degree. You're just going to take classes online and learn shit about horror movies.
I went to DeVry University and Splatter University. No. Now I could repair TVs and curate horror films.
What was the one The Simpsons were like, I want to go to Bovine University.
It's about as legitimate as Bovine University.
Hey, I think it would be no problem. We would just charge people money and they would go online and they would have like, you know, a class about horror movies. You don't have to like get a grade in it. You just learn shit.
I do know Mick Garris. Maybe he can come and do a lecture.
Oh, see, that's what I mean. And like,
I got a few connections.
What's that stupid thing? Masterclass? That's an actual thing where you can take, it's called Masterclass, and they have all these things and you like pay to take them online.
Oh yeah, there's a whole bunch of those.
So
things.
Why
yeah,
can't
yeah.
we do that? Splatter University. Yeah. Splatter U.
Splat U.
Splat U.
Splat U.
The Fighting Blood Drops.
we somehow get like NCAA a certification for our sports teams.
We have like 100%. It's
Splatter like, in the national
Notre Dame versus
basketball championship.
Splatter University.
Splatter University Fighting Blood Drops versus the Duke Blue Devils.
And our little
Dick Vitale has his take. He's like, those splatters are gonna go all the way, baby.
And it would just be like a little blood drop with like Vincent Price's face in it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'd love that.
We got classes like,
I'm gonna go buy that. Did I show you that fucking cheap church I saw the other day on Instagram?
Oh yeah.
So some church in North Carolina.
That's our campus.
Yeah, 100%. Because if you buy the church, you get the cemetery.
You get the graves.
You get the fucking cemetery. I'm gonna buy that, and that is our campus for Splatter U in an old church.
I'd love to go to lunch with you, but I'm gonna be late for Vincent Price practice. This is the greatest. This is the greatest idea we've ever had.
We've had a lot of really good ones.
We have a lot of great ideas.
But this one is a real. It we is need a worst collection ever historian great.
To
curate all these great ideas. All these
great ideas, and then send them back to us so we could slowly work our way through making them a reality. Because I can't go back and listen to all of our episodes. We're nuts. God,
why would I do that?
I was already there once. I can't be there again.
Yeah, splatter you. It's got to be a thing.
But yeah, no. Well, so basically, yeah. Newberry Comics. You know, they got their comics up there.
Oh yeah, that's too. What we were talking about.
You know, they got a bunch of trades. You know, everything's actually they do it where everything's mixed in. So it's Marvel, DC is all mixed in.
Is it like alphabetical?
It's alphabetical. Oh, yeah. And they had like a what is it? Like a bargain thing. Although the bargains weren't that great.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where I was like, eh. But they had some cool stuff there. Not as many action figures as you would think.
It's because there's so much real estate taken up by Pops.
I mean, there's some stuff there that I normally don't see other places. I mean, but definitely it's kind of like going to like a Barnes & Noble and seeing the same kind of shit there. No, it was pretty good, though. You know, it's good to go back there. And then I stopped by right next door, pretty much, Trident Bookstore.
I love Trident.
Yeah. Trident was a place we used to hang out a lot.
Yeah, because I used to live right there.
Let me try that ginger Sprite.
It's very Sprite-y. Because I used to live right there, so you know, I would walk because I went to Emerson, and so I would walk from Emerson to my apartment in Back Bay, and I would sometimes at night after because they were open to like midnight, I think, or 11 or something. So sometimes I would just stop and like,
you know. Plus things being open late.
I know, right?
You don't get that a lot.
Yeah, especially out here. But I would, you know, walk all the way down. And I would stop at Trident and I would just like, you know, get some coffee or whatever. And I would read my homework or, you know, do what I was supposed to do. I miss that place. They had a really good salad.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just like hanging out there. But it was busy as shit.
That's the thing. You can't go on like a Friday or Saturday. You have to go on like a Wednesday. Well,
man, it was busy as shit. But
like a Wednesday at 7 o'clock. Nobody gives a fuck.
Yeah, Condom World is still there.
Woo, Condom World.
That's always been there. But I guess I pretty much just walked up Newberry for like a minute, you know. I went to a Dunk's.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
definitely went to a few Dunk's.
Yeah, you gotta go to Dunk's
because I was like, well, I gotta enjoy the Dunk's in Boston because that's where it's at.
Yeah,
Dunk's. They should have just called it Dunk's. I don't know why. It's
yeah, it's Dunkin' fucking shit. Bullshit Dunkin' shit. It's Dunk's. God damn it.
That's what they say.
Yep.
Hey, going to Dunk's. I did not go to Cheers, the restaurant.
Oh, I've never even been there.
Are you talking about
the one over by like Capitol Hill ish area?
No, the one near Quincy Market.
Oh, you mean the one that's actually called Cheers?
Yeah,
because the actual bar it was based on is over.
Which I've driven by it, but never been.
Yeah, inside. Yeah, I know. Because my mom grew up in the city.
Yeah.
So she's like, whenever she would see Cheers, she's like, I used to go to the bar this is based on, because it's not that far from where she grew up.
No, I remember when I took one of the duck tours. Not a duck tour.
We went to on a duck tour.
Or maybe that's where I heard it then. Maybe that's where because then they pass by it and they start playing the Cheers thing.
Yeah, probably. I don't really remember. I just remember being on the duck tour and us being like the only people there who actually lived in Boston. And they were like, why are you taking this tour? We're like, because we want to.
Because I want to see things, all right?
I want to go on the boat that goes in the water.
I thought those were the duck tours.
That's a duck tour.
What was the thing we went on?
Duck tour? Went in the water.
We did?
Yeah. You drive around, and then you go in the water, and you go through the harbor, and then you come back out, and then before they take you back, they're like, we're going to stop and show you the most beautiful view in Boston, and they stop right by the Hancock Building, that's that big thing of glass, and they're like, here it is, it's a reflection of us, woo, yay, and then you get off the tour. They tell you about how that building was, like, designed by I.M. Pei, and, like, when it was first built, the windows weren't secured, so they were like blowing out and like crashing onto the street.
Noise.
Yeah.
Era. Glass.
Yep, people were dying.
Yeah, well. Boston's a wild place, guys.
I miss it a lot.
I really do actually miss it a lot. There's a lot of stuff in there now that I've kind of become a man of means. And,
okay.
And funds.
Yeah, let's just call it, sure, means. Both of us in quotes.
Yeah, yeah, we can, you know.
Enjoy. Student loan means.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. 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 shout out to higher education.
Shout out to being in debt until you die. Woo! America!
Come on, Bernie, get rid of my debt.
Fucking somebody get rid of it. Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't care who it is. Look, I don't care if fucking Trump shoots it into space.
Dude, if Trump did that, people would probably be like, you know what? I hate that fucker, but that was a really great thing he did.
But he took my debt and he put it on the Space Force shuttle. He shot it into the
fucking... And it exploded.
He sent it to Mars.
He sent it into the sun.
Oh, like Superman. See, he was tied to the comic somehow. It's like Superman. He threw all the nuclear missiles into the sun in Superman 4.
He put the Nelnet database into the Space Force shuttle and shot it into the sun.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That's what we're doing, guys. Taking all the computers, sending them up to the sun. Another great idea. Write that down, guys.
Somebody write that down.
I need to. Can I get in the race? Can I?
Yeah. Can you start now?
I should have voted myself in.
You should have for the primary. You should have wrote your own name.
Shit.
It's too late now.
But yeah, Boston, hip place. I was glad to be there. Maybe you'll get back there again sometime. I'd love to come with you. Love for you to come again.
Yeah, I really wanted to go with you. It's just one of those things that, like, you were only there for like a day.
But you know, it's
one of these days.
It's
I'd like us to take a vacation back there. There's a lot of places I'd like us to go, but Boston's definitely up there.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back.
It's been a weird couple of weeks.
Yeah.
For me and my adventures.
Yeah.
So I will keep you guys updated.
Oh, man.
Anyways, I guess, well, we could take a break. Did you want to talk about, or we could save this till next week and we'll tease it, the Batman costume thoughts?
I don't have a ton of thoughts on it, so it's...
Well, you were concerned about the ears.
I don't like the ears.
We're talking about the shots that came out from the...
Yeah, I put it on our Facebook page.
Yeah, of course, that's right, obviously, yeah.
I mean, everyone's like, it's a stunt suit, blah, blah, blah. The ears still have to look like the ears, you know, because you're going to catch them on camera regardless. I actually did not have a problem with the body of the suit whatsoever.
It looks very robot.
Yeah, it looks like it's out of the Arkham game. I'm like, okay, cool. No problem with that. It's the cowl looks bulbous. Like, it looks really bulbous, and his ears look stubby and
maybe that's
too thin. I think because it's a stunt suit, it was probably, like, reinforced because he's obviously the stunt guy's riding a bike.
Right.
You don't want, you know, he still needs to wear a helmet. So I'm hoping that's why it looks that way. Because it just looks really, really weirdly bulbous, and then the ears look stubby and thin. Mm. And I hated it. I just hated the cowl. Everything else I was fine with. It was the fucking cowl I couldn't stand. Well, that's my thought.
I'm certain we'll get more to come out of that. And Catwoman's supposed to be in this one, right?
I think.
So we might get some... Because is it Catwoman? Is it Penguin?
I honestly don't know. I've been really trying to keep away from it, so I've just seen the pictures.
But I see bits and pieces flying around.
Yeah,
so.
I honestly, I've only looked at the pictures. I don't read anything about it because I don't want to know.
No, well, it's nice not knowing.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yep. So, no expectations.
That's right. All right, well, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back with our book for this week.
Do you enjoy movie scores? Do you like science fiction? Do you like fantasy? And do you like movies?
Everything's under control. Situation normal.
What happened?
Had a slight weapons malfunction, but everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Well, I have a podcast for you. Soundtrack Alley. It's a podcast where I take you on a journey through the time of my childhood and beyond to give you a glimpse into the world of movies, science fiction, fantasy, and other films that touch me on a personal level. You'll also enjoy interviews from film composers from famous movies from the past or even current times. Enjoy the interaction I have with guests on my show every so often, and check out other shows that share in guest spots. So sit back, relax, and let the soundtrack world wash over you. And check out Soundtrack Alley. You'll love it.
All right, we're back here in Worst Collection Ever with our book for this week. We are doing Amazing Spider-Man number 257 from October 1984. I am reading this out of my trade, Spider-Man Birth of Venom. But, you know, this one in particular even shares with us a debut.
Look how fluffy you are.
Of, well, not the debut, because he debuted the episode before, the character here, but the Puma is on the cover here.
Look at that guy's ass.
Yeah, I know. On the opposite page, at the end of the last issue, he is bending over.
Yeah, that's
Zace.
There's just so much ass.
But he showed up in the last issue prior to this.
What is he doing now? Is he around?
He's around. He's just being a jobber somewhere. Yeah, he's really doing much.
He kind of sucks here, so.
He is really. I don't know if he really sucks.
I think he sucks. I'm not very interested in him.
Yeah, that's true.
Boo him.
But basically, we're in the middle of Spider-Man just got back from Secret Wars. He's got this weird new suit, and he's kind of learning the ins and outs of it. So we're pretty much like right out of that. And this mm-hmm. is kind of what we're dealing with. And that's pretty much what this book deals with. Like, it kind of goes all of that. And then eventually, you know, we get to learn more about what goes on with the...
What's with the suit?
With the suit eventually, because Eddie Brock eventually gets it and stuff. So, so Spider-Man on the cover here is being basically being punched in the face by...
They're
by
falling Puma. Down.
And they're falling off a building, yes.
Falling off a building.
Were you yelling about his arm? Here or is it another? Because there's another scene where he's got a weird arm.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up here, but it's more fucked up in the next panel. Oh, it's that one.
Oh, this one. Oh, with this giant, the perspective is very weird. Yeah,
it's literally as long as his body. Yeah. So we open up on, you know, beware the claws of the Puma.
Right. And so basically, well, let me just explain Puma. Puma is basically a Native American. Guy.
Oh no, that makes a lot of sense now.
Oh, you didn't pick that up?
I didn't realize that.
I thought that was mentioned in here somewhere.
Is it? And did I miss it? Because
maybe you didn't.
Maybe I was distracted by the fact that this man is literally red.
Yeah, he's.
I was like, oh no, did he get boiled? No, they just drew him red.
No,
because of racism.
Because he's Native American.
And
he's basically a Native American businessman.
I was trying to figure out why he was red. Oh no, now I know.
Well, last week we had I Ching, who was yellow.
Who was literally yellow.
Now we got
Jesus fucking Christ. What year is this?
84. Yeah, we're still doing that.
Yep.
But yeah, basically, and it doesn't say, at least I don't know exactly how he comes to these powers, but basically, he has this ability to concentrate real hard and become this Puma.
Yeah,
like grow this weird hair and
yeah,
and put on this suit and get these
basically
claws.
Transform into like a monster man.
Yeah, transform into like a, you know, into like a were man.
Were Puma.
Were Puma.
It's a were Puma.
Pretty much, and he's got like agility and all that stuff, and he's also like a mercenary, which is why he's here because Rose was like,
"Go kill Spider-Man."
Go kill Spider-Man, and he's like,
"Cool, done."
So here he is, about to
love killing for money.
Yeah, he's about to kill Spider-Man.
My thing.
And, you know, he's talking a
monologuing.
He talks
monologuing.
A lot.
He's monologuing.
He monologues a lot.
We remember The Incredibles. He's monologuing. So he's like, blah, 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 blah. And who comes to save the day but Black Cap?
Right, because this is around the time that Peter and Felicia were a thing. Mm-hmm. Although it's really more Black Cat and Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's more into Spider-Man. She's not really into Peter Parker, as we find out.
As
here.
We find out. And and what's her name? Mary Jane is kind of almost getting to the picture yet. But it's weird because this is like what I said, 84?
Yeah.
Peter gets married, I feel like, the next year, or maybe it's 86.
Oh, maybe.
It happens pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, to Mary Jane. But
well, Jesus, they've only been going together for how fucking long?
Well, I mean, in the comics, though, I mean, because they've known each other here. They haven't been together, though.
Yeah, but is this, they've been together, like, in previous iterations of this Spider-Man book?
What do you mean?
You know how it's, like, back in the day, like, how many times have Batman and Superman met each other?
Right.
It's that kind of thing.
Well, she's been a character again in this book since like the 70s.
Yeah.
But she's never been like, I don't think she's been romantically. Maybe she, you know, I don't, that's again, I don't know my Spider-Man.
I don't know my Spider-Man.
I don't know much about her outside of like, you know, she's married. She was married, you know, she got married to Spider-Man and that was it. But we get a, what is this, a quam? Is that what that
looks like? A quam.
C-W-A-M.
Quam.
Quam.
Yeah, yeah, so she kicks him.
Yeah, Black Cat shows up and kicks him in the face. And, you know.
So then he fights with Black Cat. And there's something going on where, like, he can sense that she has some sort of, like, aura.
Right, because she was gimmicked by the Kingpin or something like that in a previous, you know, couple issues in some Spider-Man book. That she got these powers where basically she has an aura about her where she can cause bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think this lasts for her very long, but she does have this issue.
Yeah, because he doesn't seem to be able to, like, he's like, oh, no, I tried to grab her, but I totally overshot her.
Yeah.
And he, like, grabs a pipe so he doesn't go off a building and it breaks and he, like, falls into a wall.
He just falls through the ceiling.
He does fall through a ceiling at one point.
Yeah.
And that's when Spider-Man, whose shoulder has been dislocated, and Black Cat leave. So, you know, she has to kind of help him off the building. And so they fly off, you know, swing off to tend to his wounds.
Yeah. And then we get to see Puma ends up in like a
some poor couple's apartment.
Yeah.
And he's like, get the hell out of my way, woman. And he like jumps out a window, which it looks like it's closed, by the way, in that panel.
Yeah.
He's just going to jump through a closed window, apparently.
Well, it's funny because everybody's like, what the fuck? These people, like this Ed Begley Jr. guy is like, what the fuck, man? And he's just like, I can't answer your questions. It's like, just get out of there, dude. But which he does. He's like, well, look, you know, and he's like, look, I fought Spider-Man. I fought this Black Cat. So if I need to find them, I could smell him.
Right.
Because I'm the Puma. And I can, like, at one point, I don't know if he does it. I think he does it in the previous issue where he just sits on top of a building and he just, like, sits there for, like, an hour smelling. And eventually he finds, you know, Peter's scent and he goes after him or whatever. He stalks outside of Peter's apartment. This is where Peter
and Black Cat are hanging out.
And
this is where Peter's like, oh, I got to get my suit to go off. And he's having trouble kind of getting it off of him.
Because it's bonding to him.
But eventually, it's like,
symbiote.
It goes symbiote, and it goes and it hangs out over a chair, and she's like, what the hell? And then, but then we see this part where she's just like, oh man, if you could be Spider-Man all the time, why would you ever be Peter Parker? And I'm like, what's he supposed to do? Go to the bank and Spider-Man? Like, go to the fucking grocery store and Spider-Man?
Well, she's like just bumming out because she's like, yeah, and his apartment's really gross. And it's like, you know, he just
lives. Yeah,
because
he's a single dude.
He's doing the gig economy.
He's totally gig economy before it was a thing.
And like, you know, and Black Cat's like, my apartment's really nice because I steal jewels.
Yeah, well.
For a profession.
Yeah.
So why can't everybody be as rich as me, the thief?
Right, who can pawn shit.
Who can pawn shit.
Yeah, like Peter Parker's just like some dorky down on his luck dude.
She's on Pawn Stars.
She is on Pawn Stars,
she's
correct.
If this was going on like now, she'd just be like, I gotta go on Pawn Stars.
If this was now, Peter would have like 15 roommates in that one room apartment.
Yeah, he would. He'd be Ubering.
He'd be driving Uber.
He'd be Spider-Man, he'd be Ubering. He'd be like, but he would just be carrying people. He's like, hey, I'm your Uber. He's got like a license plate around his neck.
It's just the new app called Swing.
Ooh, see, that's a great idea.
Right?
He could be like DoorDash, but he could bring you your food. Because he bring the pizza in Spider-Man 2. Was it Spider-Man 1, I think, or Spider-Man 2?
Oh, maybe. I don't remember.
You know?
That's a really good idea. He could just deliver, and he doesn't even have to like ring your buzzer. He can just swing up to your like window.
That's weird.
But if you know he's coming, and you just open the window and he hands you your seamless or whatever,
he would be a great. Yeah, he would be actually Peter. And I know he's still going on now, but they ain't got probably time for that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he'd be cleaning up in the gig economy. Like if it was now with apps, you could make an app.
Oh my god, a friendly neighborhood Spider-Man app
or the Swing app.
The Swing app.
Which probably already exists, but for sex. So,
oh yeah, I think it exists for like swingers.
Yeah,
couples who want to swing.
But yeah,
do you want to fuck someone else's wife while the husband watches? Click on swing.
Oh, I thought I was getting Spider-Man.
Oh shit, this is
Spider-Man brought that guy's wife to me.
This is embarrassing. I was hoping I was gonna get Spider-Man.
Now I got this other guy. Now I got this couple at my door that wants me to. I gotta have sex with this guy's wife while this dude watches.
Oh yeah, that wasn't what I intended. I just thought this guy was gonna bring me Chinese food, but
I'm gonna give this app 1 star.
Confusion 1 star.
Right. So we cut to Kingpin.
Oh yeah, he's like in the gym.
I got a question about his workout routine, because he is lifting, because we all know, okay, Kingpin, even though he's a fat guy, super strong.
Yeah, he's a super strong fat guy.
He's like
a power lifter.
He's like Vader. You know,
he's like one of those dudes who throws trees.
Yeah.
Yeah, caber tosser guy.
Yeah, he's those dudes.
Yeah.
So, but his workout schedule here, or workout routine here, looks to be, well, almost just notice is there's these two dudes in the background just picking up like a big dumbbell, mm-hmm. and he's holding up, but the Kingpin is holding up just a huge, like he's doing one-handed cleans
mm-hmm.
with like a barbell that looks to, appears to have, I'm going to say 250 on it.
Sure.
Okay. But he's, so he's doing that in his right hand. And on the left hand, he appears to be holding a 10-pound barbell.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's very unbalanced, a very unbalanced routine.
Yeah, you're
right. I don't
right.
understand. You, like, you'd be, why don't you just be doing the stuff with both hands?
Great question. Maybe he alternates. Maybe he's supersetting, but he, like, can't just, he has to do them both at the same time. So instead of doing one set and then the next set, so, like, one clean, you know. Yeah. And then doing the curl and then resting. He's just like, fuck it, I'm putting them both together.
So a friend of mine
went to the gym.
Went to the gym once. And he saw this and he was like, that is insane. Yeah. No, a friend of mine that was like a freelance writer a couple years ago knew I was into comic books. And he was, for some reason, he was writing comics. Or he was writing an article and it required examples of comic book heroes weightlifting or doing stuff.
Oh, I vaguely remember this. Remember, yes, I do remember.
And of
this.
Course, if you need pictures of superheroes doing random shit,
who do you talk to?
You got to talk to me,
of course,
because I got
your
pictures.
Instagram's just full of them.
I will find those pictures in my in our collection.
Yes,
and this one would have been a perfect one.
Yes,
because it is quite interesting.
Yeah.
Anyways, so. And basically he's talking to like his assistant, and I do like his assistant here being like, yeah, so like I've been making, since you're like the lord of, you know, you're the kingpin and stuff, like I'm like making arrangements for like a gang war against this other dude that you're dealing with in the Daredevil books. He's like, that's great. Yeah. Yeah. I leave you to do the details. You know, it's like, what, you just got to call these people. It's like, you know, I'm gonna put out an alert on the app, the gang war app. Gang app.
And get gang.
Get gang.
Well, that's another that could be misconstrued if it's like get ganged.
Oh yeah.
It's like, oh no, that's not what I meant. Ganged. I just thought I was getting four dudes to come together and beat somebody up.
I thought I was getting a posse.
You're technically getting a posse, but not in the way you're hoping.
Right. So, but I do kind of enjoy this organization, and mm-hmm. then this guy also tells him, he's like, hey, by the way, the Rose is like trying to kill Spider-Man.
Who's
like,
the Rose now?
The Rose is actually Kingpin's son.
Okay, all right.
As a first shoot, and but I don't know if we know that yet in this book.
Yeah.
But he's basically like a. Like
I
a
was getting confused. Lord. I was like, Rose and Thorn. Wait, wrong universe.
Yeah. No, this guy ends up being Kingpin's son.
Okay.
But. Oh, I do notice here that somehow he's so strong, he snaps this metal barbell in half.
That's right.
Which,
gonna be me.
What?
When I get swole.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those snapping barbells.
Yeah, snapping barbells.
Let me snap this. Ah! Anyways.
Ah!
So he's like, hey, I don't want the Rose doing that. I want him to, you know, I got stuff planned for Peter, or for Spider-Man. I'm gonna, like, give him, I think he wants to do something. He's the same thing he did to like Black Cat or something. I don't know. It's confusing, but
it doesn't make sense.
We Kingpin calls a Rose, and the Rose calls Pumbaa, and he's like, "Yo, how about you don't?" Or no, he doesn't call Pumbaa, but he just shows up. He sends a law lackey. Or wait, I'm confused here because I'm sorry, I'm jumping ahead here because I thought he's just talking. Yeah, it's just a Pumbaa making a.
It's Pumbaa making a phone call, and this is where I was like, "Who?" First, I was like, "Who? Oh my God, this guy's been sunburned." Because he's red, and he's didn't realize he was a Native American. I missed out on the racist cue that this book is giving me.
Yeah. The Pumbaa, though, he's working on, he's doing a real estate deal here.
Yeah, he's wearing a robe.
He's working on some malls. It's a very DC movie, DC Comics movie plot. It's
basically what Lex Luthor does in every DC movie. It's like real estate deals.
It's real estate deals. But then, so he's about... here's the thing. Yeah, so he does his thing where he sits there and he turns himself
into the Pumbaa. So you get this like four panel thing of him like transforming into the Pumbaa. Mm-hmm. And then we're back in Peter Parker's apartment with Peter Parker in a robe.
Yeah.
Talking to Black Cat. And I don't really know what they're talking about. But then Mary Jane knocks on the door.
They're talking about basically, he's like, I don't really know what the hell happened, like who this guy was fighting. And she's like, Black Cat's like, he was like a kinky dude covered in fur.
Oh, that's right. He was a furry.
And
it's an app for that.
She's like, she doesn't want to tell him about her bad luck powers, but she's like, I managed to like beat him, but I'm just not going to tell you.
Yeah. So, I'm great.
So she jumps out and
she's like, off to steal.
She jumps out and she's cutting a promo on his apartment.
Yeah. Yeah.
She says, I was going stir crazy in that dreary apartment. What a hole. I've been in mausoleums, which were livelier. He's basically...
He'd do better off if he lived in that cemetery.
Yes, he would. Yeah. If he lived in Splatter U, he would be much better.
Yeah, in the dorms of Splatter U.
So she leaves. Puma's like, all right, I'm going to go kick Spider-Man's ass. And just at that moment, that's when Mary Jane walks in.
Yeah, Mary Jane. She's like, it's me, Mary Jane. Huh, I want to keep you guessing. Oh, man, I love you, Peter. And he's like, Spider-Sense.
He senses Pumbaa coming to dive in.
Yeah, and then he, like, so Pumbaa, like, jumps through the window, and so Peter just literally shoves Mary Jane into a room and locks the door.
He doesn't even say anything.
He's like, shove, and then, like, the suit jumps onto him. It just gloms onto him, and then they have an apartment fight.
Yes.
While Mary Jane's like, what the fuck's going on, Peter? And this is like, bang, 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 and then this is where Pumbaa figures out that Spider-Man's suit is kind of, like, you know,
it's alive
it's because organic. he scrapes him across the back, but it like heals itself up.
It's organic. It's from the organic section at Ralph's.
Yes.
It's
organic spinach.
You can buy some organic spinach and organic leeks and organic Spider-Man costumes.
Whatever.
Or organic symbiote.
So finally, Peter and Pumbaa like leave the apartment. Mary Jane breaks through the door and then she's like, oh, they're gone.
So they basically just fall out of a window and on their way down. Yeah, basically he's on his way. They go back to fight him. We cut back to the Kingpin though again, and he
looks like a giant baby.
He does.
Yeah, it's really upsetting.
He's sitting
actually.
There in a steam room. He's just having a
steam. Like the ugliest baby.
Yeah, and he's having a meeting with Rose, and he's like, hey, Rose,
I'm an ugly baby.
Man.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I'm a huge, sweaty baby.
Also,
right now.
Can we just point out that Rose's mask is dumb?
Well, it's also he has glasses over his mask.
Yeah,
like, not just
it's like
goggles, but like...
It's like if somebody was like, I've decided to be a luchador, and they just like put a sock on their head with holes in it, and they're like, I'm a masked wrestler now.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's literally what it looks like.
It's kind of a weird mask.
It's really bad.
Yeah.
It's very, very bad.
And like, yeah, Kingpin's like, stop trying to kill Spider-Man.
Also,
like,
get a better mask.
Get a better mask, you jabroni.
You've got money.
Yeah, you're my son. I gave you a dollar.
He could get, like, the guy who makes Bray Wyatt's mask.
Ooh.
I mean.
Tom Savini?
Sure.
Call Tom Savini.
Call a special effects guy.
Call Tom Savini.
Pay him money.
You need to catch him before he goes into production for Day of the Dead. Get make you a mask.
I mean, it's 1980. It's 1984. You know, call up Jim Henson's studio. He'll make you something.
We're gonna put you in this new movie, Labyrinth.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, we'll give you this mask, but you also have to be in Labyrinth somehow. You're gonna have to.
You would be that like creepy little
guy.
You're
gonna play David Bowie's codpiece.
I was gonna say you're gonna be like oh, I can't remember his name, but he like meets
what, the pissing dwarf.
Yeah, him. I can't remember his fucking name.
That's something I often forget about that movie.
How she meets him. He's pissing.
There's a urinating dwarf.
Uh huh.
And Jennifer Connelly's like, eh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how that movie goes.
And that's how they become friends. She's like, you're peeing. Be my friend and help me through this maze. And then there's that like weird worm that he almost like pees on.
Well, he pees on the worm?
He almost. If I remember Labyrinth correctly.
If I'm remembering Labyrinth correctly, there's a man pissing on a worm.
He's pissing on a wall and he almost pisses on a worm.
That guy's peeing a lot.
It's only the first time. And that's how you hang out with like the worm and the guy and you go through the maze, the labyrinth.
That's
to find David Bowie's codpiece.
That's my dwarf peeing on everybody. Basically, it's just a brawl and they fall off a building. And there's a lot of this too where, again, Jesus Christ, shut up, Puma.
Oh, I know. There's so much
dialogue.
Fight
in this
talking.
Fight.
And they end up in a gym.
In comics, but they end up, yes. Yeah, they end up in a gym. And
I like Puma trying to throw a fucking barbell.
Well, he's doing the
kingpin.
Kingpin workout.
He's going to throw that big fucking barbell right at Spider-Man. And Spider-Man, you know, webs it to a wall. And then there's talking.
Well, this is what he tells him about his organic suit.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, whatever. I'm just going to kick this entire Nautilus thing at him.
Yeah, how he does that, I don't know.
Because he's strong.
He's Spider-Man.
He's a strong boy. And then he just throws it, actually just throws out a window. Yeah, somebody probably died there.
Oh, yeah, somebody, doesn't Spider-Man.
Oh, no, he grabs it, I'm sorry.
Oh, that's right, because Spider-Man tries to grab it, and because he's fucked up his shoulder, it like really hurts. He's able to stop it, but he falls through a bus.
Yeah, he falls
into
down
a bus,
and he basically lands on top of a bus. And Puma is like, "Well, I could go down there and like finish him off, but like,
nah.
I'm like, I need like a challenge." And and this is where it happens, where he goes back to his hotel, and he's like, "All right, well, that's right." He decides in his head, he's like, "You know, Spider-Man got, you know, he got." I kicked his ass, but I don't want to kill. I want a better fight. So I'm going to call the Rose and be like, yo, I don't want to do this. I'm just going to, you know, how about maybe I come back later? Like I'll take a week. I'll come back and I'll kill Spider-Man for you.
Mm-hmm.
And just at that same time, the Rose's guys show up and they're like, hey, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, because Kingpin said no. And but whatever. It's just, he's like, oh, that's great. I wasn't going to do it anyway. So I'm going to go home. Right.
Yeah.
And then we just end up back with the Rose and Hobgoblin shows up.
Well, that's right.
And they start talking. I don't really know what to talk. Basically, because around this time, too, Spider-Man's trying to also find Hobgoblin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we just kind of got into, you know, Hobgoblin's deals and he's been fighting around with him. And the Hobgoblin stuff confuses me because it's like, he's been like 30 different guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually it's Ned Leeds and it's also Roderick Kingsley. Then it's also Jason Mason Dale. It's this guy, it's that guy. And
yeah.
So
I never know who it's supposed to be.
I like the Hobgoblin's aesthetic.
Yeah, no,
I've always liked his look.
Yeah, I like his look too. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
I've never had a problem with it.
Probably one of the more snazzier looking Toy Biz figures.
Doesn't he throw pumpkins too?
He's a pumpkin thrower, yeah. Or I think he's more of just, maybe he's a pumpkin guy.
Which one throws the pumpkins?
Well, that's Green Goblin, definitely.
Is it
pumpkins.
Green? Okay, it's Green Goblin.
Yeah, so.
I never know the difference between the two of them.
Yeah. So Spider-Man gets back home and he.
Oh yeah, this is where Mary Jane is like, ugh.
I was trapped in your closet, but I decided to stay here anyways. Kind of. I just now I'm just reminded of that episode of Crashing where Pete Holmes is just staying in that girl's apartment.
And he breaks her coffee table?
Yeah, because he just makes pasta.
Because he makes like a big giant thing of pasta and he doesn't put a pot holder down and he like breaks her glass coffee table.
Because she goes to work and then he comes and he's just there the whole day and tell her about the table. And she comes up and she's like, oh my God.
Why are you still here?
It's like I broke your table. That's actually a really funny part. But yeah, she's like, look, Peter, I know you're Spider-Man.
Yeah, she's like, oh no, I figured out the Peter Parker Spider-Man.
And I know there's some issues or some comics that came out after this that explain how she knew.
Well, I mean, the whole fight, him.
Well, that also is pretty obvious. Doesn't help. Yeah. And he's also like, hey, I'm going to throw you into this closet.
Fight a whole bunch and then disappear.
For no reason.
And also have this weird, gloppy black stuff hanging over my chair.
Yeah, right?
It's just there.
Just this inky fucking
nobody
blob.
Knows what it is.
Right. And that's how it ends. And we don't have any letters because we don't have a proper book. But that is...
Spider-Man.
It for Spider-Man. The Amazing Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Number 257 from October 1984. This is the cover of the next issue. Do you want to read it?
Maybe.
It's the suits... The black suit and the traditional Spider-Man suit.
Fighting.
Grabbing at and ensnaring Peter Parker. He's having a fight.
Yeah, maybe.
Internal fight. And
not a huge Spider-Man.
I think we learn more about his costume here. Because I think this might be... Oh, this is when he goes... Yeah, this is the one where he goes... I'm going to look at here. He finally goes to... Reed Richards, and he's like, yo, what up? And Reed Richards is like, your thing's alive.
Yeah, like, don't wear that.
He's like, yeah, he's like, hey, maybe you shouldn't be wearing that. Maybe we'll just...
Yeah, maybe you shouldn't let a fucking...
Monster, like... Don't wear monsters.
Literally a parasite. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. Symbiote. So, yeah, I'll probably finish reading that.
Yeah.
Because I have the book, and I want to get through it, so...
Yeah.
And it's a classic story of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, but anyways, that's it for this week's show. I want to thank everybody for listening. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And I'm at Jen Stansfield on Twitter and Instagram. But I've given up Twitter for Lent.
Good.
Just trying to stay away from it. Find us on Facebook, Worst Collection Ever. Email the show, worstcollectionever@gmail.com.
And please rate, review, subscribe the podcast on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get the show. You get it on Spotify. If you get it on Stitcher, you know, just go ahead and tell your friends and make sure they know about our program. And hopefully they will like it just as much as you do, the faithful listener. So once again, folks, thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Bye. We'll